listening to the Michael Anthony Bible Teaching Podcast. This message is from the series Heroes and Underdogs, with a new weekly topic on one or more people who did great things for God. Be sure to check out Michael's book, A Call for Courage, Living with Power, Truth, and Love in an Age of Intolerance and Fear. You can get it on Amazon or wherever books are sold.
You are exactly where you are today largely because of the choices you made yesterday. And you will be where you will be tomorrow because of the choices you make today. And I don't mean today in a nebulous way, I mean literally today. As a result of what we're going to hear together and the choices that you make, you're going to be shaping your future. It's impossible to escape that. You will be shaping your future one way or another, or somewhere in between, because of the choices that you make today in response to what you hear. Now, let me speak to this overtly, very blatantly, very obviously, because we're in church. And in church, we are tremendously adept. We are skilled at blaming God for things that he had nothing to do with. We're very skilled at blaming the devil, too. The devil made me do it. And what's happened in many of our lives, and what could happen in many of our lives moving forward, is that you could blame God for something, or you could blame the devil for something. Neither of them has much to do with at all, because it largely comes down to your choices, the choices that you make. That's why you are where you are largely. Now, we believe in the sovereignty of God, that God's will, plan, and purpose prevails. All things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. But then we can have a discussion. We need to begin to have a discussion in regard to what does it mean to love God? What does it look like to love God? Ah, see, that's where it's at. Because not everybody loves God to the same degree. Because if we did, we'd all be in the same place. There are varying degrees of your love for God, my love for God, and therefore the choices that you make are in proportion to your love for God. Now, I believe in the grace of God, the undeserved favor of God, that we get what we don't deserve, the blessings of God. I believe in that. I also believe in the mercy of God, and you should too if you read your Bible, that God withholds from us, he does not give us the punishment that we deserve, that in Jesus Christ, we don't receive the punishment that we otherwise would receive if we were not in Jesus Christ. So grace and mercy work together in a beautiful way to help us appreciate how amazing, how loving, how generous, how kind, benevolent, and powerful our God is. So I believe that God shows up in our lives and does amazing things in our lives, and that we've experienced breakthroughs in our lives at times for no other reason than the undeserved favor of God. Can I get a loud amen for that? I also believe that there are times in our lives when we are spared difficulty and hardship that we would otherwise receive for no other reason than the mercy of God. That even though we know we deserve what we escaped narrowly from whatever it might be, our difficulties, our hardships deserve, humanly speaking, apart from Christ, to be perhaps more significant than they otherwise would be. Because of the mercy of God, we escape many times, many, many times. Can I get a loud amen and an applause for God for that? God is gracious to us and he's merciful. It's not God that concerns me, it's me. God's going to show up. God's going to be true to his nature. God's going to do what he wants to do. He's going to come through when we don't come through. He's going to be consistent. He's going to be consistent with his nature and his character and his plan and his purpose. They're going to prevail. He cannot deny himself. He's going to be true to himself. But if you haven't noticed, the problem in life is often with me. I seem to give God more difficulty than he deserves. And oftentimes, I don't need the devil to come knocking on my door to create havoc and difficulty in my life. I do a good enough job on my own. Maybe that's why the devil himself hasn't shown up at my doorstep. He knows he doesn't have to. Mike, you just keep doing what you're doing, and I'm going to go off, and I'm going to work on the Antichrist, and I'm going to work in Washington, D.C., and in the European community, and in Africa, and in Russia, and in China. I'm going to take care of bigger fish. As long as you keep making the choices that you keep making, you can undermine yourself all day long. In fact, that's exactly what I want to talk about all day long. I want to talk about and I want to discuss, I want to examine what your typical day looks like. You know, many people in the course of their life, they have not sat down and figured out what's an ideal day for me. If you don't figure out what your ideal day is, see, that's going to affect your week. And if you don't have an ideal week laid out, if you don't understand what an ideal week looks like, then that's going to affect each month in the course of your year. And what happens is each day of our lives takes its place as a single tile in the mosaic of our lives. A mosaic is an amazing picture, one way or the other. It's a picture that comes into focus by individual tiles. And that's really the masterpiece of your life. Your life is a mosaic. Think of it as a huge mosaic that's made up of individual tiles. You might not think about the whole course of your life 50 years from now, or 60 years from now, or 70 years from now, but I want you to think about it much more than you might have. Because if you haven't noticed, you are on a journey toward the end of your life. Each of us is on a journey toward the end of our lives. And it's what we do with each tile that will comprise the mosaic of our lives that actually you do have a say in. God's going to be gracious as he wants to be gracious. God's going to be merciful as he wants to be merciful. But as for you, you need to be purposeful and you need to be intentional. You need to be a person who is on fire with laser focus. You need to know what your life is about. You need to make choices today, choices tomorrow, choices the day after tomorrow, because each one of those choices will affect that tile of each day. Today will definitely take its place as a single tile in the mosaic of your life. You are building a mosaic. 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 You don't have to be invited to do that. You have already been doing it. What I aim to do today is to help you build with intentionality. I want you to build each day. I want you to start to be intentional about each tile that you are placing in that mosaic. So that 10 years and 20 years and 30 years and 40 years and 50 years, if you're around that long, certainly 7 days after today, your life is going to be fundamentally different in amazing, beautiful, powerful ways. Now, if you know anything about statistics, you know that this organization called Statista analyzed the average American's viewing of television last year. And according to Statista, the average American watches 3.8 hours of television every single day. 3.8 hours of television every single day. That's 27 hours of television in a week. If you do the math, that's about 53 days of around-the-clock television watching each and every year. 53 days of around-the-clock television watching each and every year. If you do the math, that's one full year around the clock of watching television every 7 years. If you do the math, and for the first 20 years of your life, suppose you live to be 70, and the first 20 years of your life, you don't watch any television, which is highly unlikely in the United States. But if you watch 1 year's worth of television in every 7 years, that's 7 years around the clock of watching television in 50 years. What could you do with 7 years of your life? And here's the amazing thing. Nobody at 20 years of age, nobody at 10 years of age or 13 or 15 years of age, nobody would say by the time 50 years have passed, I want to be somebody who has spent 7 years of my life around the clock watching television. So how does it happen? How does that happen? According to Nielsen, you know, the people who do the Nielsen ratings, the number of hours that the average American watches television is actually higher. It's 5 hours and 4 minutes. Now, if you do the math, that's 35 hours a week. That's almost the equivalent of a full-time job. 35 hours around the clock watching television. Do the math, that's 70 days of nonstop watching of television each and every year. You do that for 5 years. It's one full year in every five. That's 20% of your life watching other people live. You do that for 50 years, and it's no longer 7 years. That's 10 years. 10 years in 50 spent watching television, sitting in your favorite chair, and watching other people live around the clock for 10 years. What could you do with 10 years of your life? Now, in my book that I unapologetically wrote for you, A Call for Courage, in the 9th chapter on page 110, I talk about these statistics in light of what's happening in the nation in the chapter entitled Broken Glass. And I talk about how most of us are so distracted and so tired and so fatigued that we are now ready for an American Kristallnacht. We're now primed, the pump has been primed, that we are in a situation much like it was in Germany when Adolf Hitler rose to power, very charismatic leader, promised his people that they would be taken care of from cradle to grave. See, where the government becomes the savior of the people. The government becomes God. And we're in a situation in our country that's not so unlike what happened in Nazi Germany when things seemed really good until Adolf Hitler got into power and showed his real colors. And the government in Germany became the god of some of the people. So you can do an awful lot to indoctrinate people, to cause people to think things that they otherwise would not think, to make choices they would otherwise not make. If you can just get them to watch other people live while they're making their choices. In my book, I talk about how the average American spends now between 8 to 10 hours every day watching television, on a smartphone, using a computer, using a tablet, or gaming. You know, there's nothing amusing about that at all. Because if you do the math, you realize that that is more time than most of us spend sleeping, watching other people live, watching other people have fun. And what are we doing? We're squandering our lives away. You can make more money if you work hard. You can get another job. You can get a promotion. But there ain't nothing you can do to give yourself more time. And time is the one resource that we all have the same amount of. We've all been given the same amount of time. Some of us use that time wisely. Some of us use that time very foolishly. And then there's all kinds of stuff in between. I don't know about you, but I'm going to be brutally honest. When I get serious about my time, and when I use my time wisely, it sets me up for success. It sets me up to be who I otherwise not be. It sets me up to do what I otherwise would not do. It changes the mosaic of my life simply because I'm focusing on one day at a time. Listen, if you focus on one day at a time, the years of your life will take care of themselves. How do I know that? Just look at what we talked about in regard to television, the internet, tablets. Nobody intentionally wakes up and says, I'm going to waste 20 or 30 or more percent of my life watching other people live. And yet we do it all the time. And we wonder why, whether it's in the church or whether it's in the world, we wonder why there's not much of a difference between the way we're living and the way other people are living who don't know the truth, don't have the truth, don't embrace the truth. Do you know we're only about 20 months away? Let's stop and think about this for a moment. Can we be really sober here? Because your pastor is not afraid to talk about the issues. We're not afraid to talk about the issues. They need to be brought front and center, because this is what it means to take the Bible and apply it to the issues of the day. This is what it means. We are about 20 months away from perhaps electing a socialist to the presidency of the United States, and along with that, federal judges and circuit judges and Supreme Court justices who would support a socialist means of lifestyle. And it's done in the name of democratic socialism. That's like talking about a Muslim Christian. No such thing. See, we're at a perfect place in our country. Can I plead with you for a moment? We are so ridiculously distracted doing stuff that really doesn't matter, watching other people live, that we actually think somebody else can empower us more than we can empower ourselves. One of the greatest tragedies that has happened in modern times is that the great majority of us no longer believe that the greatest resource that God has given you looks back at you when you look in the mirror. You have the ability to make choices in your life that will count for all eternity. In fact, you have already been in the process of making choices that count for all eternity. It's just a matter of whether they're good in light of eternity or not so good in light of eternity. Whether you're watching other people live or whether you're actually living the only life that you'll get this side of eternity. How in the world can we live in a country with this kind of prosperity? And you might say to yourself, but there are a lot of people who aren't very prosperous. We have more prosperity in this country, even among the poor, than we do in many of the countries that I've visited on four continents. So I'm putting it into context, okay? What a brilliant strategy it would be to convince people in the church that your life is simply according to the lot that God gave you, and you have no ability to choose. It's all part of the divine plan that God predestined that I would live this life. God determined that this is the way things would come, that this is the way things would develop. See, we have replaced faith with fatalism. They're not the same thing. In fact, they're enemies. Fatalistic approach to life, there's nothing I can do to change it. What will be, will be. The sovereignty of God has been misunderstood, as God has ordered every single one of your decisions, every single one of the outcomes, and you have absolutely no say in the matter. And it sounds so spiritual, sounds so convincing. You know what? Would you please wake up? Would you please wake up? That same Bible that we get the sovereignty of God from says a whole lot about our use of time, our use of the only life we will ever get, and the personal responsibility. Think about it this way. Think about it this way. I'm going to challenge you to think deeply, a lost art today. This idea of being judged one day by God would be the greatest travesty, the greatest mass demonstration of hypocrisy and ridiculousness if we had nothing to say about the choices we make in life. This idea of a personal accountability before God. And one day you're going to stand before God either at the white throne judgment because you rejected Jesus, or at the judgment seat of Christ because you accepted Jesus, and then that's a judgment of rewards, not salvation. And you will be judged, I'll be judged in that judgment seat of Christ based on the choices that we made in life. You'll be judged at the white throne judgment spoken of in the book of Revelation based on what you did or didn't do with Jesus. This idea of judgment is a joke if God does not hold us accountable for the choices that we make, but he does. So please don't blame God for things that he doesn't necessarily have much to say about. Please don't blame God for the choices that you have made in your life, which are largely the reason why you are where you are today. Please don't blame the devil for doing things that you might have done for no other reason than you have not laid out for yourself what an ideal day looks like. You have not mapped out for yourself being created in the image of God. You have the ability, you have amazing intellect, amazing perceptual capability, intuition, education. You have the amazing ability to think and to reason and to make choices for your life that will accumulate. Today is going to take its place as a single tile in the mosaic of your life. If you master your day, you'll change your life. If you master your day, you'll change your life. If you change your day, if you change how you're living each day, you will change your entire life. Do you understand what I'm trying to communicate here? If you change how you're living each day, you will radically change your life. And you know what? I would go this far. I would say it's not just that you're going to change your life. God and you, as you cooperate with Him, you will work together in an amazing partnership where you will do things you otherwise would not do. You'll say things you otherwise would not say. You will become the person you would otherwise not become, all because you made a decision and you renewed that decision each and every day to live your day wisely, to live your day intentionally. And this is why I want us to look at Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 1, as we look at the words of this hero and this underdog, the Apostle Paul, as he shows us how a hero spends his or her time. How does a hero, how does an underdog spend his or her time? Remember, the Bible is not a book of exceptions, it's a book of examples. It's not primarily a book of exceptions, it is a book of examples, it is a book of examples, it is a book of examples. And Paul is showing us how a hero, how an underdog, how we are to live for God, how you use your time. How you use your time matters more than anything else in the course of your life, because your time is your life. You cannot separate your life from the time of your life. They are intertwined. They are, by definition, the very same thing. And it's amazing how so many of us, created in the image of God, washed by the blood of Jesus, don't really sit down and think about, what does an ideal day look like for me? What would I do if this was the last day of my life? What could I do if I was invincible? What could I do that would matter in the eternal scheme of things? What could I do today that I could repeat tomorrow and repeat the day after that, so that each day becomes a meaningful tile in a beautiful masterpiece mosaic of my life where it gives tremendous glory to God? In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, look at what Paul says, this hero, this underdog. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. Be imitators of God as beloved children. That's the umbrella statement that's made. And guess what? We can just end right here. This is God's vision for your life. This is His mission for your life. This is His vision for your life. This is His purpose for your life, that you be an imitator of God. You will become like the person you spend the most time with in the course of your life. It's inevitable. It's inescapable. Choose your business partners wisely. Choose your spouse wisely. Choose your friends wisely. Show me your friends. I'll show you what you're going to be like 5 or 10 years from now. Show me your friends. Show me your friends. I'll show you where you're going to be 5 or 10 years from now, because your friends are going to shape your choices. You're going to reinforce each other. God's agenda for your life is that you imitate Him, that you be like Him in regard to character. How do I know that? Because the hero and the underdog, Paul, the man who had the odds stacked against him, writes this in Ephesians chapter 5. Be imitators of God as beloved children. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints, meaning people who are set apart by God. The Christian is a saint. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead, let there be thanksgiving. Would God talk foolishly? Would God talk coarsely? Of course not, because the whole idea here is to be an imitator of God. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure or who is covetous, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with them. For at one time you were darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Let your position influence your lifestyle. Your new position in Christ and how God has changed you and transformed you, that's supposed to change where you're walking, how you're walking. Walk in a manner in keeping with who you now are. That's what he's saying. Look at verse 8. For at one time you were darkness, but now you live at light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that's good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Try to discern what's pleasing to the Lord. Meaning there are some things that are not pleasing to God, other things that are pleasing to God. As you walk with God, God reveals his will to you. And with growing momentum, all those tiles of your life have a cumulative effect. And before you know it, your life is giving glory to God with increasing momentum and increasing greater influence. Verse 11, take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them, for it's shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible, for anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore, it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Here you go. Verses 15, 16, and 17, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that's debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. That's when I was at Rutgers University, the Tinsley Dormitory in room 319, and I read this passage of scripture as a new believer, and I said, I guess I can't get drunk anymore. And I could have been technical about it and said, well, maybe I'll drink beer and not wine. Would have missed the whole point. But right there from the Word of God, I read it and I thought, can't get drunk anymore. Why not? Because that's not God's will. Well, how do I know that? Because God's Word shows me what God's will is. See, as you spend time with God, you become more like Him. You want to be more like God? Spend time in His Word. He authored it. And so I got blindsided. Haven't you noticed that God does that in your life? He comes in through the back door. You hear a knock on the front door. You're focusing on this. You know, I'm just going to read the Bible. I'm just going to read the book of Ephesians. I was doing it at night before I went to bed. Highly recommend that you read the Bible last thing before you turn your lights off. Don't check your email. Don't check your text. Don't watch television. Read your Bible last thing before you turn the lights off. And your subconscious and your conscious mind, my family and I were having a discussion about subconscious and conscious these days. And for my family, you know what I'm talking about when I say that, but your subconscious mind, your conscious mind, you will be processing that all the while that you sleep, and you'll wake up in the morning and you'll remember that passage of scripture, you'll understand what that passage of scripture means, and you'll be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You'll actually be able to put the Word of God into practice. For those of you who struggle, just like I do, with memorizing scripture or remembering where scripture is, I'm giving you a great tip on how to memorize scripture without even trying to memorize scripture, about how to know where the Bible says whatever it says, without even being intentional about it. What you're doing is you're showing up. God is speaking to you through His Word. You will absolutely become like the one you spend time with. If you open up the Word of God, God's Word will get into you, and you'll be able to pull it out when the day of testing comes. That's the way it works. Don't get drunk with wine, which leads to doing things that you otherwise would not do. That's debauchery, leading people to do things that they wouldn't do if they were sober, and leading yourself to do things that you wouldn't do if you were sober. That's what debauchery is. Don't get drunk with wine, for that's debauchery, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Huge contrast. You're to be led by the Holy Spirit, not by what alcohol does to you. You should be led by the Holy Spirit, not by what alcohol does to you. Now, it's amazing that what we're talking about now is legalizing marijuana at a national level. There are candidates who are running for president. They want to legalize at a federal level marijuana, and they want to do it for recreational purposes. What an amazing way to distract an entire civilization. Do you understand how we need a second revolution in this country that's not fought with firearms, but it's fought with information, and it's fought in the power of the Holy Spirit? I'm not sure that many people understand. I think many people confuse me for being a pastor. You know what God's calling in my life is? to help people live daily in light of eternity so that when they get there, when their life is over, they're able to look back and say, thank God, literally, and not be surprised. You have people using devices and watching television, spending more time on those devices than they do sleeping nowadays. You have the opioid crisis at an all-time high, unlike it's ever been in the history of the nation. You have alcoholism at an all-time high. And now we want to add insult to injury. We want to make marijuana legal for everybody. Well, it's not as significant as drinking. It's not. What studies are you reading? The ones that you want to read just to support your cause? Well, you're probably investing in marijuana stocks? Do you understand how our nation is so primed to be taken over by an idiot? Do you understand that the National Defense of America Act that was passed on New Year's Eve, December 31st, at 2011, allows for the indefinite detention of an American citizen? An American citizen, we're not talking about illegal aliens or undocumented workers, however you want to say it. We're talking about an American citizen can be indefinitely detained under the accusation of being a terrorist. And do you know that the definition of terrorist has changed many times and is subject to reinterpretation as well? How do I know? I wrote in my book about that, for those of you who have read it. It's still on the books. I could disappear one day. You could disappear one day without the ability to have an attorney, because under this act, you don't have the rights to have an attorney. So much for the Constitution and the amendments therein. I could disappear one day. My family might not know where I am. You could disappear one day. Nobody would know who you are under the NDAA, not have access to an attorney, be detained in an undisclosed location indefinitely under the accusation of being a terrorist. You say, well, that would never happen in this country. Those who are not familiar with history are destined to repeat it. You might think that I'm just going to preach the Bible in a way that has no relevance to what's happening in 21st century America. If I did that, I would do you a disservice. It might make you uncomfortable. I hope it does make you uncomfortable enough to cause you to stand up and speak out in what has become a sit down, shut up, watch your television, check your smartphone, inebriate yourself with alcohol or marijuana world. That's what it's become. The land of the free has not resulted in the land of the brave anymore because we're so afraid. Afraid of what? Afraid of people more than we are in reverence toward God. That's what's happened. We're more concerned about the opinions of people than we are about the opinion of God, and there's a heavy, heavy price to pay for that. I can't tell you how often I get discouraged, but I'll tell you now and give you just a glimpse how often I get discouraged. Why am I a pastor? Why do I say the things that I say when it seems like so few are listening? Are you listening? Do you understand that our country has been primed in the same way that Nazi Germany was before it went to hell in a handbag and went on steroids? We are primed. There are laws on the books. You say, I don't believe it. This guy's a conspiracy theorist. No, I'm not a conspiracy theorist. These are facts that I'm talking to you about. These are facts. All it takes is for somebody who wants to push the envelope and enforce what's already on the books, you could disappear. But you probably won't if you're the average American conservative evangelical, because you won't say what needs to be said in public. You'll just complain about it behind closed doors. You'll throw things at your television when you watch the news briefly. You'll listen in your car to the radio, and when that bad news comes on, you'll change the channel. And for some strange reason, we're marching toward socialism. We're marching toward the government being God. How did that happen? I don't know how it happened. It happened because while you and I were staring at our smartphones pretty foolishly, while we were spending all that time watching television, while we were focusing on comfort and convenience, what we actually were doing is we were sacrificing the hard choices for easy choices. And if you make easy choices, you're going to have a hard life. You make hard choices, your life's going to be much easier. Do you understand what I'm trying to say to you? If you make easy choices, your life's going to be hard. And our nation now is experiencing the consequences of easy choice after easy choice after easy choice after easy choice after easy choice. And that's why life has become harder for us. If you make hard choices, if you do what's right, if you make hard choices and you change the way you're living each day, your life's going to be much easier. If you allow yourself to continue as you've been continuing, as many of us have been continuing, the direction of our nation is going to continue. And I hope and I pray that you invite everybody and their mother to our fellowship. Why? Because these are the kinds of things that I'm speaking about. These are the kinds of things that people need to hear from the pulpit, to the heart, to the mind, to the ear. We need a second American Revolution, everybody. One that is characterized by ordinary heroes and underdogs just like you who will stand up and speak out when the rest of the world is telling you, sit down, shut up, smoke some weed, go get some heroin, watch some television, be an idiot with your smartphone. Think that your real personality is who you are on social media. Hide behind social media to make a platform for yourself. Listen, your platform is only as good. Your platform on social media is only as good as the degree to which it points people to Jesus Christ. I'm so sick and tired, and I say this lovingly. The pastors are doing it. The Christians are doing it. The pastors and the Christians and the Christian leaders are doing it. No wonder why the sheep are doing it. It's all about likes and follows and selling books and getting more watches and getting more views and being an influencer for that and an influencer for this. I'm so sick and tired of the internet being taken over by influencers who are followers of Jesus in name, but they never use their platform to say a doggone word about Jesus. As far as I'm concerned, one day you're going to find out that you could have used your platform to tell people about Jesus and you didn't. Listen, if I was interested in popularity, I would not say what I'm saying right now, because this ain't popular, but it needs to be said. Amen. The first responsibility of leadership is to define reality, and the reality is if you change your day, you'll change your life. If you change your day, you'll change your life. If you allow your day to continue as it has been, your life's not going to change, your family's not going to change, your community's not going to change, your place of employment's not going to change, and guess what? Our nation's not going to change. I'm calling for massive, revolutionary, biblical action in response to the apathy and the detachment and the narcissism that's taken over our country. That's what we should be doing in the church. We got a lot of people, far enough people in the body of Christ to turn this country around, but it won't happen unless you change your day. You say to yourself, what does this have to do with the Bible? Look with me. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. Look carefully then how you walk. Don't take a casual look at it. Look carefully how you walk. Not as unwise, but as wise. Making the best use of the time because the days are evil. 2,000 years have passed and they're more evil than ever. The days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, as many people are, but understand what the will of the Lord is, etc., etc. And Paul could go into many examples here. He just talks about drinking and he talks about debauchery, but he could go into many examples of foolishness. But the example of wisdom is to take your day to realize that it's precious, it's important. You're never going to get today back. You'll never get today back. It's going to be gone at midnight. You get to choose today how you use it. Today is going to set you up for tomorrow. Tomorrow is going to set you up for the day after. And so many of us in the body of Christ, listen, I could shout this, but all it would do is make you maybe feel unsettled. You have to repent. Because most of us are not using our lives, our time, as wisely as we could. You cannot be the same person you were last week. You cannot be the same person you were last year. You cannot, in light of what's happening in the nation, be Mr. or Mrs., Mr. or Miss or Ms., same thing, different day Christian. CQI requires that you become the best version of yourself. Continuous quality improvement. You have to become, if you're going to be an imitator of God, you have to by definition. If you're going to be an imitator of God, you have to be committed to becoming the best version of yourself, which for many of us, that means repenting over how we've used our time. That's at the 50,000 foot level, coming in for a landing, cleared for landing. Now you're on the tarmac. You can change your life by changing your day. You need to develop your routine day. What is the ideal day for you? What does an ideal day look like for you? That means you need to have a morning routine. What do you do in the morning? What time do you get up in the morning? You should get up in the morning at a set time. You should have an end of your workday routine. For those of us who work, you should have a routine at the end of your workday. What does it look like when you come home? What does that wind down look like? And then you should have an end of the day routine. Because how you end your day sets you up for how you start your day. How you start your day sets you up for how you live your day, sets you up for how you end your day, and the cycle goes on and on and on. That's how each day becomes a tile in the mosaic of your life. And it's a tragedy that most of us have not invested our time intentionally the way we should. We talk about investing our money, investing in stocks, getting leverage return of investment. We talk about compounding interest. Many of us understand what that is, but we don't understand the compound interest of the use of your time. Until you define your ideal day, until you look at the 24 hours that you have in a day, you're not being wise, making the most of every opportunity in the midst of evil days. You need to have an ideal day. You need to know when you get up. You need to know when you're spending time with this Jesus who wrote the Word. You need to be in the Word of God so that the Word of God comes out of you. You need to be a person who is praying and surrendering and committing your life to the Lord, putting the Word of God into practice. Don't just read it like the Pharisees did and become familiar with the Bible. Put it into practice. You need to end your day that same way, reading the Word of God, putting it into practice, asking God for forgiveness and mercy for areas that you fell short in during the course of that day. But it's amazing how few of us don't think about, when do I get up in the morning? We don't think about, when do I go to bed at night? And, you know, some of us might be very disciplined or very committed to a certain routine in the course of your day, but you know who's undermining you? Your spouse. Ouch. You want to do it. Let's do this thing. Let's get on board. Let's change our lives. Let's work on a routine day. But your spouse won't get with the program because your spouse doesn't understand that your time is your life and your life is your time. You might be the problem. Your spouse might want to go. Your spouse might want to say, let's go. Let's run. Let's run with God. Let's make our lives count. I understand this idea about being a tile in the mosaic of my life. But I understand this idea that I'm a masterpiece in the works, that I'm creating a masterpiece in the works. And I want to make sure that each day takes its place to move me forward with momentum toward the person that God wants him to be and what I'm going to accomplish in my life. But are you creating the problem in your family? Is your spouse creating the problem in your family? You need to have a sit down. You need to talk about this. You know, talk about a revolution in the country. Let's have a revolution in your family. How are you using the time of your life? You can't stay up late and eat. You will wake up and you will feel like you have been eating lead balloons. And you will wake up fatigued and you'll wake up tired. Most of us don't drink enough water, the water that we should drink. Most of us eat too late. And you say to yourself, but my schedule is too busy. Listen, since when was it okay to run your life and to live your life on autopilot, especially in the day and age in which we're living? We're not paying attention that this is your life. This is your life that's happening right now. This is it. You're not going to get to hit replay. This is it. Right now it's happening. Most of us stay up too late, watching stuff and doing stuff that really doesn't matter in the eternal scheme of things in good ways, and we get up too late, all because of one thing. We're not making the most use of our time in the midst of evil days. You can change your whole life. See how simple this is? This is so simple, you might think that it's insignificant. Mike, are you telling me that if I change my day, I can change my life? Absolutely. Your life is the accumulation of the choices you're going to make. What you do with what you just heard, it's going to determine where you're going to be a week from now. It's going to determine where you're going to be a year from now. It's going to determine where you'll be perhaps 50 years from now or 5 years from now. It's going to determine that. What you do with what you're hearing right now is going to determine where you're going to be down the road. Don't blame God for it. It's the sovereignty of God. You might say, but I have a set of circumstances in my life, my upbringing. Listen, I'll find somebody who's got it twice as bad as you and is killing it for Jesus in a great way, who is moving forward as a business person, as a businessman, as a businesswoman, who's doing amazing things in serving God and having influence, real influence under the Spirit of God. Don't blame your life on your circumstances. It's your choices in the midst of your circumstances. And we need to grow up as men and women and hear that in the church and stop blaming God. And in this passage of scripture, in Ephesians chapter 5, we are being commanded. It's not a suggestion. We are being told, you, not God, make the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. And what I'm doing is I'm trying to help you understand how you do that from a nebulous level to a very practical level. You can change your whole life by changing your daily routine. Get up earlier, read the Bible, pray. You say, well, my kids are the COO of my family. They act as the chief operating officer of my family. I can't get my kid to do this or that or the other thing. My kid, well, if I tried to make this change in my family, listen, are you going to get serious about eternity, or are you going to let eternity slip through your fingers? Is your child the parent in your household, or are you the parent in your household? Are you watching the way parenting takes place because of the way the world's doing it? People smoking weed, gulping this down and watching, spending all this time on television and using their smartphone with stupidity? Is that who you're listening to, or are you listening to the Word of God? When the Word of God says, make the most use of your time because the days are evil, and they're more evil today than they were 2,000 years ago. It means what it says what it means, and demands a response. Today could be the day where your child stops operating as the chief operating officer of your family. You've been given the authority in your family to lead your family in light of eternity. So lead. You don't have to wait for your child's permission. Your child might kick and fuss and moan and groan. So do what we used to do. We got videotape of it. Make your kid run around the house until their attitude changes. Discipline your child. The Bible does say, spare the rod, spoil the child. You are raising a teenager for years 1 through 12. When they hit the age of 13, what you did from years 1 through 12 will be made manifest. Are you raising a wuss and a wimp and a predisposed a child who's going to smoke and drink and... Is that the kind of child you're raising? Or you're raising a modern day revolutionary for the Lord Jesus Christ? Somebody who learns what it is to stand up and speak out in a sit down, shut up world. Because the Calvary's not riding in and saving the day. We're all sitting there waiting for somebody else to say what needs to be said, do what needs to be done, and lead the way it needs to be led. You know what I say? The same thing the Bible says. You be the leader. You be the person. You be the hero. You be the underdog. That's the answer. That's the solution. You be the solution to what ails this country. You be the solution. The American Revolution that needs to happen out there, let it be a family revolution. You can change your entire life by changing your day. Go home today and think about, what do I do at the end of the day? What's my end of the day routine? What do I do in the beginning of the day? What's my beginning of the day routine? How do I wind down after I come home, after I throw my keys on the countertop? After I come in and that's the end of that day. You can change your life by changing your day. And brothers and sisters, it's high time that we have a real determination and intentionality about taking each day seriously, because the days are evil and they're going to be more and more evil, and you need to use your days wisely. Today is the day where you go home and you have an honest family conversation and you look at, what am I doing to sabotage the whole idea? What are you doing to sabotage? You don't point the finger and yell and scream and holler, but you have an honest conversation in humility. Can you imagine that? Having an honest conversation in humility to say, what am I doing? What are you doing? What are we doing to sabotage what needs to happen in our lives, which is God's agenda? God has called you to be an imitator of Him. He's called your spouse to imitate Him. He's called your children to imitate Him. He's caused you to imitate Him at home, in the workplace, in the neighborhood, and throughout the nation. In order to do that, you want to change your life? Change your routine day. Get in mind, write it down when you're starting, when you're ending, when you're reading the Bible, when you're praying, and don't let anything or anybody derail you from what you absolutely have the ability to choose.
Interested in requesting Michael Anthony for an interview, guest appearance, or as a keynote speaker for your event? Click the Invite tab on the Courage Matters app or on couragematters.com. You can get more resources just like this podcast through the app and website as well.